now come to order at 3:05. With us today, we have Representative Bertie Gardner, Representative Bob Booth, Representative Carl Gatto, myself, Chair Olson. The first item on the agenda today is the sending of the names for the appointees to the boards and commissions forward. All the committee has had an opportunity to go over the list, and we've received no indication from any committee member that they had a problem putting forward any of the names. Again, all we're doing is putting them forward to go on to the floor. Is there, do I hear a motion to move the names forward?
Go, Berta!
Also move.
Seeing no opposition, we'll move the names forward. Second item on the agenda is Senate Bill 305, Recorking of Wine. Oh, welcome back, Dana. Seems like it's been months since you've been here.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name's Dana Owen. I'm an aide to Senator Johnny Ellis and staff to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. We introduced this bill late in the game, and I think most of the members of the House should be familiar with this bill.
It bears a striking resemblance to a bill that we had last year.
It's quite similar, in fact.
It has at least the same name.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, for the record, this is identical to the bill that passed the House. I just wanted to briefly remind everybody that it's our belief that this is a safety issue, that our laws currently have a bias towards overconsumption of alcohol and then driving, and we would like to see people be able to order a bottle of wine and take it home without feeling compelled to drink the entire bottle of wine before they get in the car.
I don't believe we have anybody signed up to testify, do we? I think we were all in favor of the last time, and is there anybody in the room that would care to testify on this bill? With that, we'll close it out to public testimony and bring it back to the committee. Representative Booth.
Yes, Dana, I just want to confirm there's nothing else in this bill that no matter how we look forward or backward, there's been no additives or anything that's any changes to what we were looked at last time.
Mr. Chairman, no, there are no changes.
Okay. And Dana, Legislative Aide Dana, would you in your most esteemed position give me your opinion of the term dog begging law?
Mr. Chairman, I think it's a perfectly noble and fine term.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your
Representative Gatto?
Two questions, sir.
Certainly.
One is, has there been any state where this bill was introduced that failed to pass it?
Mr. Chairman, to my knowledge, there hasn't been, but then it may very well be. I can tell you for sure that 34 states have such a law in the books.
Okay. And second question is, I noticed that some states require that it put in a tamper-proof bag to double ensure that the bottle will not be compromised. Is that a reasonable request to add to this legislation?
Mr. Chairman, it may be a reasonable request. I would point out, though, that the bill would require the ABC board to set by regulation a way of sealing bottles that are not corked. So bottles that are corked, that are sealed with a cork, have to be sealed in such a manner that you have to have a mechanical device to open it. Any other type of seal, a twist-off cap, for instance, would have to be sealed under regulations to be promulgated by the ABC board. So I'm not sure that it would be necessary.
I'd like the record to reflect we've been joined by Representative Ledoux and Representative Newman and Representative Gardner. Do you have a question?
Thank you. Mr. Owens suggested that the bill was about safer highways. I don't remember the exact terms used. And in my view, what the bill's really about is being able to sell higher quality additional bottles of wine and people not feeling like they need to drink it all. To me, I see it as a sales tool, which may have an additional safety side effect. I don't object to it. I mean, I think that that's perfectly fine, and I support the concept. So that's it.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gatto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would agree. My first thoughts were that a waiter could easily say, can I get you a bottle of wine? And you look and you go, man, I don't want to drink that much, you know? Because we can allow you to take it home. We will reseal it for you. So as a proprietor, you get to sell a bottle of wine that you may have sold only one glass. It's an advantage to the proprietor. But I want to go back to the question about screw-off caps. When you recork, do you seal with a screw-on cap that now has a tamper-proof thing, or do you simply substitute a cork?
Mr. Chairman, my understanding is that for a bottle that is not originally sealed with a cork, you would have some kind of a seal approved by the ABC board. I would imagine that it may be something like a paper seal that goes and is glued down on either side. I don't know that for sure, but I would assume that it would be something along that line. But the ABC board would be charged with developing regulations that would allow you to reseal a bottle that isn't sealed by a cork. If it is sealed by a cork, then your obligation as a restaurateur would be to replace that cork or to put a new cork in it in such a fashion that it can't be opened by hand, that it has to be taken out with a mechanical device.
Representative Ledoux.
If a bottle isn't originally sealed with a cork and is like a screw-on or something, could you put a cork in it?
Yes and no. No.
Mr. Chairman, I'm afraid that's the first time that question's been given to me. My interpretation would be that no, you could not. You'd have to reseal it with some kind of a cap, that you could not seal it with a cork. But I'm not sure that's correct. I would defer to an attorney, I'm afraid.
Representative Gatto?
Just didn't know when a cork is inserted in there. Is it usually expand or something, or is there a taper to a bottle that allows a cork to be used, in which case corking a bottle that doesn't have the correct taper? I don't know. But I think we're just curious, not that we're trying to avoid dealing with the bill.
Representative Newman, followed by Representative Ledoux.
Thank you. Dana, when we're, if somebody purchases a glass of wine and the owner of the business opens up this $100 bottle of wine and serves it to them, and another customer comes in and asks for the same kind of wine and serves it, can that second customer purchase the remainder of that bottle? So if Senator Thomas wanted to go to one of the finest restaurants in Fairbanks with a really nice sign by a river and purchase a bottle of wine, but it was already had been opened and resealed, can he purchase the remainder of that bottle? Or is it only the original opening of that bottle?
Mr. Chairman, I do not know the answer to that question. I wish that the remaining member of your committee were here. Perhaps he could clarify that.
I
think that's an important part because you're the appropriate. I think that's an interesting question. Just hold it.
Representative Ledoux.
Well, getting back to my question about whether you could put a cork into a screw-on bottle, you said it had to be answered by an attorney. I'm just talking about can you physically do that? Because it would seem that under this bill you'd be able to do that. And I just, I'm not that familiar with the mechanics of corking.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know the technical answer. I assume that you could. And if you could, you would certainly meet the intent of the bill. The intent of the bill is to allow you to take off the premises a bottle which has been resealed so that you can't open it and while you're driving, for instance, and imbibe. And as far as I could, at least under my interpretation, if you can recork that container and take it out, then you would meet the intent of the legislation.
Actually, I think I can answer that question. I have a recorker at home, and you can put it on any bottle as the same size inside diameter without any problem at all using a different cork. It's a cork puller that reverses so you can seal the bottle, and that's what the restaurants will be using. We've been joined by Representative Ramirez. Any further questions for Dana? What are the wishes of the committee? Do you want to move this bill?
No.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill Number 305, version backslash A, with any attached fiscal notes or individual recommendations from committee.
Seeing no opposition, we'll take a brief at ease and sign the paperwork. Record, with us is Senator Joe Thomas, and welcome for your first time to Labor and Commerce. Please state your name and affiliation, and the floor is yours.
Thank you, and good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Senator Joe Thomas, representing District D from the Interior. The goal of Senate Bill 263 is to assist the functioning of the Board of Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors by making two modest changes. The board is 10 members, with one receipt is reserved for mining engineers, and there are only 22 of Alaska's 4,000 registered engineers are resident mining engineers, which can make it difficult to find qualified and interested candidates. This bill allows the governor to appoint either a petroleum or a chemical engineer to the board if a mining engineer is not available to serve. However, when the seat is vacated, each time the seat becomes vacant, the governor will first have to seek a mining engineer for that position. The second section of CS for SB 263 adds the underlined language on page 4 to the list of exemptions from the licensing laws. CS for SB 263 exempts persons who design fire detection or suppression systems from the engineering licensing law if they are authorized to design fire detection or suppression systems by the Alaska Department of Public Safety. In fact, there has been no opposition to the bill in either the committee process or public testimony. This provision solidifies in statute the current industry practice and has the support of both the Licensing Board, the Alaska Professional Design Council, and the Department of Public Safety's Fire Marshal Office. The Department of Public Safety issues permits for several categories of design work. Their regulations require passage of the appropriate National Institute for Certification in Engineering Technologies, the NICET, exam or its equivalent. It also requires 5 years of related work experience and employment in a position of supervisory responsibility for design of each of the categories. That information is in your packet as well. The public safety regulations governing the permitting of individuals to design fire detection or suppression systems and the number of people who hold these permits are also in your packet. And we have Assistant Fire Marshal Kelly Nicolello is online to answer questions about the permitting process if, in fact, he understood his name being mentioned. I slaughter that one each time I mention it. I believe this bill will increase the clarity of the engineering law and the efficiency of the board, and I ask for your support. And I'm ready and available to answer any questions or see that somebody else will answer them for you.
Representative Ramos.
It's a pleasure to have you before our committee, Senator.
Thank you.
You're a nice man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Representative Newman.
Thank you. Senator Thomas, how was this issue brought to you? Was there a lack of people trying to get on this board?
That's what has given rise to the problem, is the one seat is reserved for a mining engineer, and with only 14 or 22 of the 4,000 registered engineers in the state of Alaska being resident mining engineers, it's quite often difficult because those folks are generally working someplace out of town. As we know, most mines are not situated right directly in town, so it's very, very inconvenient for them. So the addition of the possibility of a petroleum or a chemical engineer has expanded that group that they can use or at least entertain.
Follow-up?
Follow-up.
Part 2 belongs to Section 2.
Correct.
Pertaining to that, so we have somebody who is already authorized by the last Department of Public Safety to design and install fire detection systems and suppression systems.
Correct.
They currently have to be licensed by a board of engineers?
That's correct. That's correct. They have taken this exam process, and they require a certain number of years of experience.
So why is that a bad idea?
No, they do. They require that anyhow. The NICET is they're taking that out because they use the NICET exams anyhow. They just don't. They would not require under this bill that they have the entire NICET licensing, but they do have to pass the equivalent or the same exams, NICET exams, for the specific area that they are working
in. OCC license oversees that?
Pardon me?
OCC license oversees that?
No, it's the public safety, the Department of Public Safety Fire Marshal's Office.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr.
Kathy, you want to join us at the table?
Did that answer your question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, they're okay.
Representative Gardner.
Thank you. And understanding that a person under this bill who could install fire safety systems would be authorized by DPS.
That's correct.
Would they also be employed by somebody who's a licensed engineer? I'm just trying to understand how the bill's constructed. And also because the DPS insert in our packet, I'm just trying to make sure I understand it exactly, refers to, I'm sorry, this. Yeah, the Department of Public Safety regulations, and it says, company must employ at least one permit holder who holds a permit in the classification specified. Is that what they're talking about?
It would probably be better for the Department of Public Safety to answer that question specifically. That's my understanding that the person is through the chair, I'm sorry, Representative Gardner, the individual would most likely be working for some type of architectural or engineering firm, but that may not necessarily always be the case. So to make sure that your answer is correct and specific, I would refer that to the representative Department of Public Safety.
Kelly, are you with us?
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Through the chair, and for the record, my name is Kelly Nicoletto. I'm the Assistant State Fire Marshal for the Department of Public Safety. And Representative Gardner, for your question there, the permit is attached to the individual, not to a company. So a company must employ a permit holder to be able to do the design of a particular system.
Thank you. And through the chair.
Follow.
So the individual who has the permit, it would not have to be an engineer, but are they employed by somebody who has an engineering degree, or is that not relevant?
In this particular case, we don't think that's relevant. Oftentimes they are, because they also provide other services. But an individual who can meet the qualifications could be self-employed and provide that service for themselves, for their own business.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Any further questions for the fire marshal? Thanks again, Kelly. We might need you in a few minutes.
Thank you, sir.
We also have Craig Frieden signed up from the Alaska Architect Board. Craig, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Care to make a few comments?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Craig Frieden. I'm the mechanical engineer on the State Architect Engineer and Land Surveyor Board. Senator Thomas gave an excellent presentation there regarding this bill. I know you guys are busy. I primarily came on to answer any questions from the AELS board. We are very comfortable with this. We've been working hard with the industry over the last year and a half to craft this language. One item regarding the mining engineer position, we have in the past had a vacancy that was left vacant because we didn't have this ability to go to another chemical or petroleum engineer. That has happened in the past. Regarding the fire permit legislation, the reason why we went after this is there is a possibility that there could be a conflict between the statutes of the AELS board, which says if you do design work, you need to be a professional engineer, and the state permit that permits the fire protection contractors to do design work. So that's why we were seeking this statute, to make sure that there's no misunderstanding from any future board. And I'm available if anybody has any questions regarding the AELS board's position on this.
Representative Gatto.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just reading the title of the bill, it says an act relating to the Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors. And then on the last sentence in the title, it exempts a group from having to be registered. Is that basically what the bill is doing? Is saying we have all these registered people, but the following numbers 1 through whatever, 15 or 14, can be on this board but do not have to be registered? It's not so simple for me to understand what it is we're doing here, because we have 14 exemptions from something. What are we exempting them from?
Through the chair, Yes. Basically, these exemptions, in a nutshell, our statutes and regulations say if someone was to design a building or a road or something like that, they need to be a licensed engineer or architect or a land surveyor. The exemptions that you have in front of you are when an engineer or an architect is not necessarily required to do that design work. For instance, if you were to put an electrical system in your own house, you don't need to have a professional electrical engineer go in and stamp those drawings. Historically, this exemption for fire protection designers has been under the exemption written down as a specialty contractor. But that's a pretty broad statement, and we've been getting some abuse of that statement from some contractors thinking that, well, I'm a plumber, I'm a specialty contractor, therefore I don't need an engineer. So since that statement of specialty contractor is so broad, we wanted to make sure that the fire protection permits were specifically noted as an exemption. Therefore, the men and women who are doing this design work, highly qualified individuals to do this work, don't have a run-in with our investigator. Does that answer your question, hopefully?
Mostly, in that when the project is a building, a commercial building, these people are all subcontractors. So the building is still being designed by a registered architect or a registered engineer or a registered land surveyor. And when I read the title, it, looking for exemptions from architects, engineer, and land surveyors, and I'm finding these exemptions, 1 through 14, and in my head, I'm trying to figure out what it is we're accomplishing. It may be perfectly legitimate. What you're saying here is to say, hey, these guys that design fire suppression systems don't need to be registered?
Through the chair, they don't have to be registered engineers. They do not have to be professional engineers to design the fire suppression or fire detection systems.
Okay.
That's the exemption, is from them being licensed engineers. And because they're not professional engineers, they have their NICET certifications or their Alaska State permits to do that design work.
Okay. It was just hard for me to see that in the text.
You apologize. You're getting just an excerpt out of the entire statute there. I could see how that would be difficult.
Okay. Take its word for it.
Any further questions? Thank you very much. Is there anybody in the room that would care to testify on this bill, John Walsh?
By request.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is John Walsh, and I am here in support of the bill on behalf of the Alaska Professional Design Council. I think your questions are important for the record, and I think they've been answered accurately, that this exempts that specialty design field, as approved by the Department of Public Safety, from a licensure requirement. And so those folks that are in the business doing this work under regulatory jurisdiction are now exempted clearly under the statute, so we don't have a run-in at a later time. The exemption in the Section 1 is, or sorry, the reference in Section 1 to the AELS board is merely to reference that seat, the mining engineer's seat. So that's why it's in the title, that this bill is relating to that board, and the provision in the section is that in the event of a vacancy on the mining engineer candidacy list, the board can entertain, or the governor can entertain, a chemical or petroleum engineer. So that's there's two sections of the bill, and each of those are represented in the title. Professional Design Council is a consortium of professional engineers, all societies, including land surveyors and I think there's a few others, but about 5,000 individuals in Alaska. So they've looked this over and are assisting the AELS board in accomplishing these issues that have been before the board for some years. And thank you for your consideration of the bill and for the sponsor's support.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else in the room that would care to testify? Seeing none, I'll close public testimony and bring it back to the committee. Any further questions for the sponsor? What are the wishes?
Some discussion here, Mr. Chair. You know, the first part's pretty clear to me, but being able to allow, I mean, we've got a position here that's sat empty. We've heard several times on a board. You know, there's a little bit of purview I think we need to allow our governors. Also, that they're going to select people who are qualified to do this. So I think that's kind of a gimme there. The only question or hesitation I might have on the other part is, you know, first off, I see no problem right off where the Department of Public Safety, Department of the Fire Marshal's Office has already had purview over the site of this. But when you, when the engineering part again, and Representative Gatto brought up with probably something because he worked as a fireman, but when you're in a 14-story building and you have maybe structural damage that's caused by a fire, it can be heat, it can be caused by weight from collapsing in on a structure, where engineers, you know, would have that type of thought on there. But then I'm trying to look at on a design on a fire system on that, how that could come into effect. But the bottom line, I guess, if the people who deal with this every day are okay with it, it's probably a good idea, and it simplifies it. It makes it so more people are able to get in there and do this. They're already doing it. It's a duplication of paperwork otherwise, so I think these people are more than qualified to do it. And when you're ready, I'll move the bill at any time.
Well, I'll entertain a motion if there's no further comment.
Mr. Chair, I move CS for Senate Bill 263, Labor and Commerce, version /E, from committee with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Seeing no opposition, the bill moves out of committee, and we're adjourned at 3:35.
Thank you very much.